But we're in this series of authority and submission. Last week we dealt with Satan's rebellion against the throne of God. And we want to go further here. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, reading from verse 5. And I want to preach on the authority of Christ's throne. Last week we dealt with Satan's rebellion against the throne of God. But here tonight we want to deal with the authority of Christ's throne. Or we could call this something else. We could speak of this as supreme authority. In other words, there is no higher authority. There is no authority that challenges it or competes with it. Here tonight we are going to deal with the authority that's established by God. And I can assure you, it is unquestioned, supreme, sovereign authority. And since these lessons can radically change your life, they can radically change how you function in the church, or in your family, in your own life, in the workplace, or in society. I assure you, if you hear what we're saying on these Wednesday nights and Sundays, it will dramatically affect every realm of your life. You won't say the things you once said. You won't have the attitudes you once had. You won't get involved in the things you once did. Coming under the authority of God sets you free. Do you hear me tonight? It doesn't bind you. It doesn't restrict you. It actually sets you free. In this city of Limerick, we see men and women bound by drugs, drink, the flesh, the world, the devil, everything. But I assure you, when you come under the authority of Christ, become a prisoner of Christ, you are set free and set at liberty. Reading from Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, he's quoting from the Old Testament. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all of the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But under the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt But thou remainest, and they all shall wax old, as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. Amazing thing. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Father, even tonight I pray for such a revelation of this everlasting throne, the throne of glory upon which the King of glory, the King of kings, the King of the Jews, the King of saints sits. Lord God, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. Father, we're looking for the dominion, the power, the rule, the authority of your throne to come in this church and our individual lives. My God, we want you to rule over our thoughts, our ambitions, our desires, our decisions, nor God, everything of our life. We want you to rule over us individually, over our families, over this church. We want you to rule in our workplace, in our nation. And my God, we do pray tonight as a church, let your kingdom come. Let the manifestation of that throne be made so real in our midst. Lord God, make it so real. The very power of your scepter be extended in this church, that your name might be glorified. To God be all the glory and all the praise and majesty, in Jesus' name. Amen. the supreme authority of Christ, or the authority of Christ's throne. Since when we realize the authority of that throne, it changes our life. You cannot get born again without acknowledging the authority of that throne. If you are to get saved, if your life is to be changed, if your sins are to be forgiven, if you're to be made right with God, you are going to have an encounter with the throne of God or with supreme authority. Show me someone who says, Christ is my Savior, but they have not made Him Lord. I'll show you a liar. Show me someone who says, I'm ready for heaven. I know Jesus Christ. I am born again. And yet they don't obey God. They don't submit to God. Or they don't think there's any authority in God to rule over their life. I assure you, they are a liar. They are deceived. Because there's no salvation without submission. And your sins aren't forgiven if you don't acknowledge the authority of Christ. There's no point looking to the cross and saying, there died He for me. His blood atones from all my sin. If you don't also point to His throne and say, His kingship is real in my life. He does rule over my life. He reigns over my decision. He does have a dictate over my time, my money, my relationships, where I go, what I do, and who I associate with. If He's never become king of your life, if He doesn't rule over your life in such a way, then don't claim salvation. Don't claim His saviorhood if you aren't willing to claim His kingship over your life. You cannot separate these things. And yet there's some men I've even met in this city. I've met even some so-called born-again evangelicals in this city. And they separate the lordship of Christ from the Savior are from His salvation. They say you can be saved, but we haven't made Him Lord yet. The Bible says there's no such thing. If He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. If you don't make Him Lord of your life, or you don't bow the knee, then don't tell me He's your Savior. He cannot be. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 here. We catch a vision of supreme authority, of absolute authority, of the highest authority. And that authority is given to one particular person. It is not shared amongst many. Absolute supreme authority is given to one single person, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has supreme authority in heaven and earth. He has it over the angels, over all creation. He has it over the devil. He has it over sinners and saints. He has supreme authority, and nobody can escape that. Nobody can sidestep it. Look at verse 2, we see that He is the Creator. It actually says in verse 2, by whom also He made the worlds. God actually made all of the worlds through Christ. All of the worlds, all of the planets, all of creation. In verse 3 it says that He upholds all things by the word of His power. It's speaking about Christ. So not only is He the Creator, or not only is it through Jesus that all visible things were created, but He actually upholds, or He holds in place all things by the word of His power. Do you realize when you gaze upon the sun, or at least experience the sun, it is the word of the power of Christ holding it in place. It would not stay there. The world would not stay here. The planets would not stay in their orbit. Everything is held in its place. Exactly in its place by the word of His power. I want you to see the majesty of Christ here. He is the Creator. It goes on to say in verse 10, Thou Lord. Notice what it calls Christ. Lord. Thou, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heaven are the works of Thine hands. Christ is the supreme Creator of everything. There's nothing created that He did not create. Yeah. Then look at verse 6. We also see that the angels worship Him. Let all the angels of God worship Him. Can you imagine all the angelic hosts, the seraphims, the cherubims, Michael the archangel, Gabriel, all of them actually worship Christ. Saints, look at it. There's only one person has ultimate worship. And you know what? When Christ came and began to minister, they wanted to stone him because he did take that place of worship. And there's only one person can be worshipped, and that is God himself. Christ claims supreme authority. And God the Father says, I let all of the angels worship him. All of the angels, even at the crib, even in his birth, the angels worship. Even at Calvary, he could have called on all the angelic hosts to rescue him. But that was not the will of the Father. Look at all the angels, majestic. And the angels are stronger than you know. One angel can kill 160,000 men. It happened in the Bible. One angel. And yet these angels stand in awe of him. They stand in fear of him. They stand in absolute majesty and glory, worshiping him and bowing before him. And yet men, you can hardly make them worship. Look at them with their feeble clap or saying, I don't feel like worshiping him. God help you. You need your eyes open tonight. He is the King of glory. He holds supreme authority. He can either bring you to heaven or cast you into eternal hell. You ought to fear him. Look at the angels before him in majesty. Do you know those beautiful angels with six wings? Some of them have six wings upon them. And you know why they have six wings? Two wings to cover their face as they worship the living God. Two wings to make them to cover their very feet, because I assure you any angel is in awe of the presence of Almighty God. You see, these angelic beings are there in the very presence of God. We also read three times here that he is the Son of God. He's the Creator. He's worshipped by the angels. He is also the Son of God. Then in verse 3, we read that Christ is sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. The same Jesus who was born of a virgin, who died at the hands of Pontius Pilate. In verse 3 it says that when he ascended on high, he sat down at the right hand of majesty. Notice in these verses, beginning in verse 8, it speaks about the throne, the scepter, the kingdom, and the anointing. It's talking about his supreme authority. Since we're looking at the highest authority there is, and every one of you must submit to that authority. There is no higher authority. If you submitted to a husband, or a parent, or a boss, or some government official, or some leader in the church, and yet in your heart you never submitted to the person of Christ. I mean really submitted to him. It would be all in vain. What if you went through a life of merely outward observation and being very careful about authority in your physical life, but in your heart before the throne of God, you were not submitted in your motive. In the inner thoughts of your mind, you were not submitted. What would it avail? You see, in verse 8 it says, thou hast loved... Sorry, let me go back to verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne... Look at Jesus. He has a throne. He actually has a throne. All the angels worship him. And that throne is at the right hand of the Father. Notice again verse 8 it says, thy throne, O God... Who is he speaking to? Jesus Christ. He's saying, thy throne. Who's speaking? God is speaking. Who is he speaking to? His Son. And he's saying, thy throne, O God. Do you realize if anyone, the Jehovah's Witness or the Mormon or anybody else denies the divinity of Christ, that he is divine? Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Or Revelation chapter 1, or Colossians chapter 1, or John chapter 1, or 1 John chapter 1. Go to all these first chapters, and as you read them, you have a wonderful revelation. Christ is not only the Son of God, he is God. Right. And we must be careful to teach our young ones and our children. He's not only the Son of God, he is God. He is Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God manifest in the flesh. He is God in flesh. He took upon himself flesh. But look at this in verse 8. Thou, Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Jesus has a throne. He is God incarnate. And that throne is an everlasting throne. It is no beginning, it is no end. Nobody is going to destroy that authority. When every authority is put down, this authority is going to continue. It is eternal. It says, a scepter of righteousness is thy scepter of thy kingdom. What is the scepter? Every king has a scepter. It is the stick they hold in their hand. It is a symbol of their sovereign power. You know, the old Persian kings in the Old Testament, if you came into the presence of a king, uncalled for, uninvited, unwanted, and you walked into the presence of a king, your life would be nothing. That king would have you killed. Do you know you can't come before those sovereign kings? You see, we think of our king, think of the Queen of England, or some of the royal houses of Europe. All they are is a figurehead. They don't carry authority. They don't carry power. Everybody benignly respects them to some degree or laughs at them. But nobody fears the Queen of England, I can assure you, not in this generation. But the ancient kings, you fear them because they can take your life. They have supreme authority. If they say come, you better come. If they say go, you better go. You better say yes, sir. You don't argue with a sovereign king in the Old Testament. You don't debate with them. You don't discuss. You don't say come back next week. You don't say I will consider it. Yeah. We're talking about a king, and this is men in the Old Testament. You submitted to their authority. I want to show you they were only a little reflection of Christ on his throne. If you really see the authority of Christ, you won't argue with them. You won't say, well, I'll see if I can turn my heart to agree with you over the next year. Your word says to do this. Well, I'll pray about it. The Bible says I ought to do this, but well, I'll just keep praying about it and I'll see if I come to that. You would not have survived under the supremacy of the kings of the Old Testament. His scepter is a righteous scepter. His throne is holy. It is pure. You don't debate with him. You don't argue. You don't change his word. Yeah. Can you imagine a king in the Old Testament, even David or Solomon, and giving you a command, and you saying, yes sir, I'll go do it. Go do this. And on the way you change the orders. Well, I think this would be better. Well, I don't think I need to say this. And I'll add this to the instructions. You're given a message from the king to deliver to a certain person. And you say, well, that'll sound a bit harsh. That's a bit narrow. Well, that might make them feel uncomfortable, so I'll just change it a little bit. Or do you know what? I've been thinking about this and I've got some ideas. You see, with sovereign authority, you do not change, you do not add, you simply submit. And I'm telling you what the throne of Jesus Christ is. Saints, either you're a rebel against that throne, or you're submitted to it. There's nothing in between. Either you have bowed the knee to Jesus Christ at his throne and said, you're king of my life, I crown you king of my life, I submit to you, and whatever you say to me, I do want to do. Yes, I may wrestle in my flesh. Yes, I may feel weak. Yes, I may fail you, but I am resolved that you are king of my life, and there is no other authority in my life. You see, this is the authority in this first chapter. In verse 3, it also says that Jesus is being the brightness of the glory of the Father and the express image of his person. In other words, if you see the Son, you have seen the Father. He also says in verse 3, he has purged our sins. Do you know only God can purge sins and forgive sins? The Jewish people, when Jesus ministered, and he said to someone, go, your sins are forgiven. They were ready to kill him. You know why? The Jews come back and said, only God can forgive sins, yet you are forgiven sins. That's why for a Catholic priest to say, your sins are forgiven. What a dangerous place. They're claiming divinity. Right. They're claiming a right that they do not have. Any Catholic priest that says, go and your sins are forgiven, or I absolve you, that is heresy. That is the worst form of heresy, because only God can forgive sin. In Mark chapter 2, it says, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Anybody who says, I forgive your sins, is actually claiming divinity. And only Christ claimed that position. He forgave sin. He purges us from sin. And in verse 2 it says, he is heir of all things. All things will be subjected or submitted unto him. He's the heir of all things. What does it mean? He is now reigning at the right hand of the Father. But the Bible says a day is coming when he will inherit all things. All things will come to him and be his, but surely he has all things already. Yes, it means, but all shall submit, every knee shall bow, every tongue is going to confess. There is a day, you see, this city's filled with rebels. But I want to assure you, there's a day coming very soon. Limerick will not be filled with rebels. The worst of sinners who have actually come under the judgment of God will bow the knee and say, he is King of Kings. And his judgment is a righteous judgment. Look at the Bible. The Bible calls him the King of Kings, the King of the Jews. In Revelation 15, the King of Saints. And in Psalm 24, the King of Glory. This is who Jesus Christ is. He's King of all the earth. He is King of the little nation of Israel. He is the Jewish Messiah. He always has been. He is tonight, and he will be in the future. He is the Messiah. He is their King. Why was he crucified? Do you know when the Romans crucified the man, they put the accusation of his crime written on the cross. What was written on Christ's cross? Behold, the King of the Jews in three languages. Do you know why he died? Because he was the King of the Jews. He was willing to die to say, I am the King of the Jews. Anyone who says he didn't claim to be God is wrong. Anyone who tries to say that he wasn't claiming to be the Messiah. You've got that famous American preacher who talks about Israel and blood moons and all the rest. He wrote in his book, Jesus didn't claim to be the Messiah. Well, he's wrong like the rest of them. All these guys get too big for their boots, start preaching things they shouldn't. Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. He was the King of Israel. And the Bible says when he comes back, Israel is going to acknowledge him as such. Now, let me show you something about this supreme authority of Christ. First of all, the authority of Christ and God the Father. I want you to notice the relationship of the Father and the Son. Because saints, if we see authority and submission at the throne of God, Jesus Christ was submitted to his Father in all things. He said nothing without the Father telling him to do it. He didn't heal anybody unless the Father told him to do it. He didn't go anywhere. Now look at this. This is the highest authority there is. And yet look at him. He's utterly submitted. You never find authority without submission. And if you find anyone with authority or in authority, it means they have submitted. You never find someone training other men to be a carpenter. Or to be a car mechanic. Or some office job. Unless they have been taught themselves. It's impossible. The fact that they are teaching others. Mean they were taught in the first place. And I assure you, anyone who's out there. Teaching people how to drive. They have been taught. There's some people in Ash Roads. They won't be teaching anyone how to drive. I can assure you. You just hang around them. They've got nothing to teach. They never learned. They actually never sat and learnt from someone else, so they have nothing to teach. Yeah, yeah. But look at Christ. He is the man with most authority in the world, the church, the nations, the universe, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel. Look at his supreme, absolute, unchallenged authority. And yet he's absolutely in submission. And anyone who claims authority but is not submitted, they're a huckster, they're a deceiver. Right. Look at Christ in his life, his ministry, in his home life, in his suffering, in his teaching, in his actions. In all these areas, he was subject to the Father. Look at him, he has absolute authority, yet he is submitted in every single area of life. There's not one area in his life that you can't find he was submitted in. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Men, Christ is your head. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Look at, Christ has a head. Christ has submitted himself to God the Father. And that's why now we're asked to submit to him. Don't think it's an unsubmitted authority. We are submitted to one who actually submitted himself to the Father. He willingly submitted himself to the Father. And if he hadn't, you wouldn't have been saved tonight, I can assure you. There would have been no hope for you. In submitting to his heavenly Father, he became our Savior. It was all a part of the same plan. His submission led to his suffering and his sacrifice. And as a result of that, he has now become our head in a very real way. Every man must bow the knee to Jesus Christ as their head. Jesus is my head. I would have no authority in my home if I didn't submit to my head. I can forget even expecting Candace to submit to my authority if I don't submit to Christ as my head. But by submitting to him, I can assure you I'm going to be a good head to her. If I don't submit to my head, why would I want anyone else to submit to me? Because there's something about submission that makes you ready to carry authority. And by submitting, you're preparing yourself to actually carry authority. And that's why rebels never really have authority. You show me someone who's a real rebel in the church, they manipulate. They're always dropping a word here or trying an action here. They have to manipulate. They have to put pressure. Remember the Bible, it says, a man's gift makes room for him. So when you see someone in the church trying to manipulate ministry, you actually know they're not submitted. Because see, a submitted man will never manipulate. He'll say, if God doesn't want me to have it, I do not want it. And if God doesn't want me to go there, I do not want to go there. And if this little girl doesn't want to marry me, I sure don't want to marry her. If I have to manipulate and coerce and lie and deceive, you're in a very dangerous place. Yet you want that wee girl to marry you and submit to your authority. But you're doing it with an illegitimate authority. Since if God wants someone to be by your side, either a husband or a wife, all hell won't stop that. Yeah. Submit to Jesus Christ. And I assure you, if you can't get that wee floozy or that handsome guy, you're better off without them. Yeah. If it means that you don't submit to authority, then you're going to have to use an illegitimate authority to get them. We see this all around us in a very real way in Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Look at him. All power. There's no higher authority in earth than Jesus Christ. There's no higher power or authority in heaven than the person of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2:7, talking about Christ, it says, he made himself of no reputation. When he came from the glory of heaven and took on human flesh and became as a man and was born of a virgin, he made himself of no reputation. What happens with men? They're always trying to gain reputation, aren't they? And what do? They fight, they cajole, they're trying to make a name for themselves, they're telling everyone about themselves, they're trying to make a reputation. But look at the one with highest authority, the one who has authority over the angels and over all creation. Look at him. He made himself of no reputation. Do you know when you have true authority, you don't mind humbling yourself? You don't mind washing somebody's feet? You don't mind submitting? Or if you walk into a workplace, I'll honor the boss. I don't care if I have 1,000 businesses across the world. If I have true authority, I mean true authority, if I understand authority, and I walk into your home, I'm not going to start changing your display in your living room. You're not going to walk into the kitchen saying, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just changing the whole layout of your kitchen. I may own 10,000 houses across the world. I may think I'm a big man with great authority. I have great authority. I have great knowledge in home design. Do you know, I had a friend in Scotland. She had a preacher come, a bit of a pain. Shouldn't call him a preacher, but came to visit her. Insisted on it. She didn't want him there. And he decided to change all her cupboards and put them back to front and take the hinges off and turn and saying, I don't want it done. No, no, this will be better for you. And I'm on the phone with her. And he went in that home and says, I didn't want it. I wanted the hinges the other way around. But he was so persuaded that this was far better for her and this would do her a world of wonders. And he started changing everything. Do you know what? That's an illegitimate authority. I know it's a silly thing, but you see it all the time in the kingdom of God. Someone walks into a church, they think they have authority. Who gave them the authority? Oh, but I've got 1,000 churches. That doesn't mean you've got authority in here. Oh, I'm going to change the order. I think you should do this. I think you should have this at this time. It's not your church. Not my church. But I'm telling you, I know who he's put here with authority. Yeah, and you'd have to be a very brave man or a very foolish man to start challenging authority. If God's put me here, you challenge it if you want. Amen. I'm not going to fight with you, but I'll tell you, God will be against you. You better know God has given you authority or you'll get yourself in very real trouble. Look at Christ. The man in authority doesn't mind submitting himself. Let me say that again. A man who truly has authority from God doesn't mind submitting himself. Do you know, I do have authority in my home. I have been given authority by God. I'm very relaxed in my authority. And I assure you, I can even submit to my wife in areas. I can ask her opinion. I can say, you're wiser than me. You know why I'm free to? Because I'm secure in my authority. I learned a long time ago, men or women who are insecure, I get nervous around. You show me someone who's very insecure. I'm not talking about being weak or not having confidence. I'm not talking about that. I've seen big men. They're very insecure. That's how they'll kill you. They'll burn you bad. They'll hurt you bad. But show me a truly great man. He is very secure. Show me someone very secure. They find it easy to submit. Show me someone very insecure. They can't submit. They don't like to submit. They're nervous about submitting. Christ made himself of no reputation and he took upon him the form of a servant. He came from the highest throne in the universe and he takes upon him the form of a servant. He didn't come to lead. He came to serve even his disciples. And he was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself. I'm telling you what true authority looks like. Since I can humble myself, when I come into your home, I'll be very respectful of your home. If you're a husband, I don't care if you're say 5 minutes, I'm going to respect your authority in your home. I'm not going to reorder your home. I'm not going over your head and telling your wife what to do. I may have been saved for decades and you may only be in the door. I'm going to respect because God has given you authority in your home. And I'm very careful about that. You see, I'm a submitted man. I do have authority, but I'll submit myself in your home. Or if you're a boss and I have to go get myself a 9-to-5 job and I come work for you, I do have authority in this church. But you know what, I'd have no problem in that workplace submitting to you. Whatever your position be, I say, what should I do next? And you go, man, shouldn't be asking me. You're the preacher I go here on Wednesday nights and Sundays. I'll say, you've got authority in this place. And I submit to authority. I've got no problem. I don't care if you're a fraction of my age. I'd say, you're the boss here. You tell me what to do. I'll do it. Since I understand authority, I believe in authority. I've got no problem being submission. That's why it's safe for me to have authority. Show me someone who cannot submit. Don't give them authority. Someone who doesn't know how to submit, do not allow them to have authority. If you find yourself a girl and she doesn't want to submit, you be careful about marrying her. If you find yourself a guy and he doesn't submit at work or to the government or in the church, don't marry him. Do you hear me? You're playing with fire. If you find a guy and he's not in here, he doesn't want to submit to authority and he's always fighting, don't marry that guy. Because I tell you, he will not treat you well. Because he doesn't understand submission. Therefore, how can he rightly handle authority? Yes. Christ humbled himself. He had the highest authority, yet he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's why you see submitted people generally will walk through great suffering for those who are submitted to them. They will lay down their life. What does a shepherd do? He lays down his life for the sheep. Why? Because he's actually under submission to a higher authority. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him. Who does God exalt? Only those who submit. Who does God give authority to? Only those who are in submission. And believe me, if God doesn't give you authority, you better not touch it. If God doesn't give you a position, you do not want it because you'll abuse it. If God hasn't given you the place of headship in your home yet or brought a wife to you, don't try to engineer that or get that. You're probably not ready for it. Amen. Oh, I'll rule in my home. You may abuse that. And be guilty before God. You see, if you humble yourself before God, if you become a servant, if you actually serve in the church, serve at the throne of God, God says, I will highly exalt you at the point of time. I know where you are, Ananias. I know where I can find my man. He's the right man at the right place, at the right time to do the right thing. He's a submitted man. I'll just lift him up and use him to touch one of the greatest preachers who ever walked the face of earth. You'll be the man. Why? Submitted. I could exalt Ananias at the right time. He has highly exalted Christ and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and in earth and the things under the earth. Talking about hell. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Notice it's not Christ who gets the glory. It's the one he's submitted to. Christ is submitted. He says that all things will come into submission to him. And it's to the glory of the Father. He is seeking the glory. You see, Romans 13 talks about higher powers. Since there are higher powers, there's a higher power than me. There's many levels of authority. There is an authority structure in the home, in the church, in society, in the kingdom of God. And you need to learn it if you're going to function. The church is filled with rebels. Absolutely filled with rebels. And they're in for a big shock. If you don't understand submission and authority, it doesn't matter how many demons you cast out. Oh Lord, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. They were subject to us and they went out screaming and we named them, we got their names and we knew all about them and we've got their number. Depart from me, I don't know you. Yeah. Lord, but we preached in your name and we gave prophecies in your name and we done many Holy Ghost works. Depart from me, I never knew you. You're a worker of iniquity. You never submitted to me. But the demons are submitted to me. You're deceived. You're deceived. Saints, I want to tell you, there's many in the church in our generation casting out demons. They are not submitted to Jesus Christ or his throne. They're playing games. I can assure you, they've never submitted. Therefore, they don't have authority. But they think they have actual authority. Notice that the authority of Christ, it is unquestioned. It is infallible. It is unchallenged. What I mean by infallible, it's without flaw. There's no mistakes in it. There's no abuse in it. There's no tyranny in it. There's no mistakes. There's no accidents. He has perfect sovereign authority. That's why Jesus Christ, saints, he is the only one who has unchallenged authority. My authority can be challenged. Any prophet in the church can be challenged. Any husband of a wife can be challenged. You can challenge authority, though you better be careful. This is the only authority we'll deal with of a person that you cannot challenge. You cannot challenge Christ. He has unquestioned authority. We don't discuss with him. We don't dialogue. We don't bargain with him. Well, if you do this, I will do this. Many Christians do that. Lord, Okay, if you do this, then I'm going to serve you. And if you don't, go and live in the world. You better go tonight. Christ doesn't make bargains. He says, come follow me. You submit to me. You obey me. Well, if you do this for me, if you bless me, then I wouldn't want to be doing that, making bargains. If you show me a sign, then I'll follow you. You won't get a sign. Do you know there's people out in this city and they said, oh, I prayed and asked God to show me a sign. He never did. And they're out there in the world. You can't bargain with God. You don't bargain. His is an unquestioned authority. It's supreme. It's sovereign. And it only belongs to God. And he never delegates it. He doesn't give it to any apostle. There is delegated authority and we're going to deal with that. But his supreme authority, the authority we're dealing with tonight, he doesn't give it to any apostle or any prophet or any man or any person on earth. Nobody has unquestioned authority. No church, the Catholic Church claimed it, but no church on earth has that. No church whatsoever. Let me show you Christ's attitude to authority. First of all, in the home, we've already seen it to his Father. He was submitted in all things. He humbled himself as a man. He made himself of no reputation, and God the Father exalted him. But let's look at the home. Did Jesus Christ believe in the authority of the home? He was sovereign. He had ultimate absolute power. But did he believe in the authority of the home? Could he, as sovereign power, submit to someone else in the home? He could. Listen to this, what it says in Luke chapter 2. Do you remember when Joseph and Mary took Jesus up at 12 years old to Jerusalem? And you'll remember when they were up there for the Passover and they were traveling back and they thought he was with other family members, relatives. And it was 3 days before they found him. And they had to go back a day's journey to Jerusalem. And when they went into the temple, there he is sitting, a 12-year-old boy. And he had all the white-haired scholars in around him and they had all the scrolls out and he was confounding them with his great wisdom. It was remarkable. A 12-year-old boy. Saints, these were the greatest rabbinic Jewish scholars in Jerusalem. Right. These men had spent more than a lifetime learning the scriptures. They knew every hard question. They could quote the Bible inside out. They had learned. They read all the great teachings of other teachers. They're sitting here and this 12-year-old boy is astounding them with his knowledge and his authority. And listen to what it says. Mary speaks to him and says, son, why hast thou dealt with us thus? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Don't you know I'm submitted to my heavenly father? Joseph isn't my father. And don't you forget that, Mary. She said, your father and I. No, I'm about my father's business. That's why I'm here. If he is my father, I would have been down that road with you. But I am doing my father's business. Look at Christ at 12 years old. He is submitted. He is in the house of his father, doing his father's business. But here he is, Mary, his mother, who was his virgin mother. Here she is, saying, but we are sorrowful. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them. Notice this very carefully. This is Jesus at 12. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in his heart. Look at Christ at 12 years old. He has power over demons. He has a name that is higher than any others. Angels sang at his birth. They bowed at his authority. They noted his birth or his conception. Notice it says he was subject to Mary and Joseph. His father-in-law, he was subject to him. This is Jesus, the Son of God, and yet he is submitting in the home. This is a very low level of authority, isn't it? The submission of a son to a parent and a godparent or a stepfather. He actually submitted. Look at Christ. You think you're too big to submit to mommy? You think, no, Mary, that was your opportunity to say amen. You missed it. So some of you could have shouted amen. But the Bible speaking here about authority, Christ wasn't so big that he couldn't submit to his mother. 12 years old, she doesn't know what she's saying. Do you realize she's actually wrong? Now, she's not sinfully wrong, but she's intruding on him doing the will of his father. She doesn't actually understand even what he's saying. She doesn't understand what's happening. And yet he willingly submits himself. The word is huptotasso. It means to be subordinate, to be under obedience, to subject yourself. Jesus subjected himself to Mary and to Joseph. He said, I'm going to be under authority. I am going to obey them. Jesus at 12 years old obeyed his parents. Isn't this one of the commandments? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I want you to see that Christ with supreme authority submit himself as a little boy. Then secondly, what about political authority? How did Christ respond to this? Was he hired? Did he reject it? After all, he's got supreme authority. He is called King of Kings. He is actually the ruler of all kings and princes of the earth through all of history, the entirety of history. He has dominion over the nations. He has authority over every human being. He has dominion or rulership over every rich man, every famous man, every wise man, and every man of authority. Does that mean that when Christ walked on the earth, that he didn't acknowledge the authority of kings and princes, of political leadership or political government? In John chapter 6 and verse 15, we actually read about the crowd that he fed multitudes and he taught them. And in John chapter 6, 15, it says that when he perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Look at him. They want to make him a king. But you know what? It's not right for them to do that. They need to submit to his authority. All this bunch later want to crucify him. Yet here they're saying, we want to make you king. We want you to rule in the nation. When it really come down to it, they weren't even submitted in their own hearts. Here they were, people who get excited, and I've seen it in the church, people who get excited and say, oh, we want him to rule, and we believe in the authority of Jesus. But when it comes down to the brass tacks, they will not submit. Yeah. What about when it touches your pocket? Oh, I'm not sure I believe in the authority of Christ now, in submission to authority. Do you submit to him concerning your pocket and your time and your relationships and your decisions? Do you know, a Christian who, when they're faced with a decision, doesn't submit to Christ isn't worth anything?
Yes.
Do you hear me? They're not much of a Christian. Oh, I'll do it my way. Yes, and we'll see what you make of it. You'll make a pig's ear of it. A pig's ear will look good compared to what you'll make of that. You see, Jesus Christ says, you're not going to make me king. I'm trying to deal with your hearts to get you to submit to me, and you want some outward kingship, some grand ministry where here's the one who's going to be king. He was wiser than that. You know why? Because his kingdom is not of this world. He says, my kingdom isn't of the thrones of this kingdom. In Matthew chapter 22, we actually read of those who come to him and say, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? You're dealing with a hot potato. It would have been like 100 years ago asking an Irishman to submit to the Queen of England or the King of England. Yes, submit. And a good Irishman would have been a good rebel and say, I'm not submitting to an English authority over me. That's what it was like. And do you know what Israel in the days of Jesus, do you know what they were? An occupied nation. Caesar was in Rome. They were a nation under the authority of a Roman army. And you know what? Caesar was collecting tax in Palestine. And you know what Caesar said? You will pay or you will go to jail. You'll be punished. You will pay me tax. Here's the religious. They're trying to catch Jesus out and go, we're throwing a hot potato into the midst of heaven. What do you think, Jesus? And everyone, all the people are listening to him. And there's a few zealots in the crowd. There's a few provos in the crowd. And he's there and he says, and they're saying to him, so what do you think? Should we pay tax to Caesar? Is it lawful or not? Well, Jesus, what do you think? Should we submit to the Roman emperor or should we rebel against it? What do you say? But Jesus perceived their wickedness. Be careful how people try to catch out with questions. Yeah. Jesus perceived their wickedness. And he said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Shouldn't call someone a hypocrite, should you? Should you not? Jesus called them fox and wolves and serpents. Usually the religious. Not the drunkards. Not the harlots. Not the atheist. Called the religious, those who said they believed the Bible. Said, you're a hypocrite. He had no problem doing that. Neither had Paul. Neither did the Old Testament leaders. Very real. And here, Jesus says, you hypocrites, show me the tribute money. Give me a coin. And they brought him a penny. He saith on him, whose image is on the coin? And they saith on him, Caesar's. And listen to what he said. Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. He got out of it. And you know what he's saying? He says, well, if Caesar's head's upon it, why are you using his coins then? If you're not under his authority, why are you using his coins? Why are you taking the benefits from the government if you don't believe in the government? Always grumbling about the government, rejecting it, criticizing it. Why are you taking the benefits? You don't mind that, do you? You don't mind all the benefits of the government, but we curse the government. Why curse the thing that's supplying your needs and giving you welfare benefits and helps you? I tell you, there's a lot of people, if the government stopped that, then you can curse away. You'd have a good reason to. We need to be very careful of our attitude. But what Christ said was, whatever has God's stamp upon it, whatever has his image on it, make sure you give it to him. And you know what? Every one of you in this room has the image of God upon you. You were created in the image of God. You have the imprint of his. When we look in you, you are made in the image of God. And you know what? Give God what is his. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, give to Caesar what is his, but give God what is his. And you're talking about two different kingdoms there. Don't get them confused. There's two very distinct kingdoms there. In Matthew 17, says, when they were in Capernaum, that they received the tribute, that they that received the tribute money, and this is a different thing, this is the local legal tax that went to the synagogue. And those who received the money came to Peter and said, does your master pay tribute? And he saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their children or of strangers? And he gets into this talk with Peter. You see, Peter answered for him, yes, the master pays the local tax. And here's Jesus speaking to Peter, and he says, do you know, we're not obliged to. Some taxes we're not obliged to pay in Capernaum. Listen to me carefully. This is a free will, voluntary tax. They didn't have to pay it. It was a religious, local religious tax. But you didn't have to pay it. And Jesus is saying to Peter, actually, I'm free. I don't actually have to pay it. But listen to next what he says. Notwithstanding, Peter, lest we should offend them, go thou out to the sea, cast the hook in, go fishing, Peter. Take up the fish, and the first that cometh up, open its mouth, and thou shalt find a piece of money, and take it and go and pay the tax. Yeah. Amen. Now look at Christ, he's saying, we don't need to pay this. But you know, we're not going to offend. We are of a different kingdom, but we're living in this world. There's social customs. There's things that go on in Limerick. There's some practical things that happen in Ireland. I tell you, there's some things you may not have to pay. But you know, you say, I don't want to offend anyone. I want to be upright. I want to do what is honourable and right. Especially if you're a Christian. Lastly in this point, John 18. And when Christ is before Pilate, and Pilate says unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he says, who has told you this? Have others told you this, or have you thought this up yourself? And he said, hey, I'm not a Jew. They're Jews. You're a Jew. I'm a Gentile. And then Jesus answers him. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. Hear me. Because there's a clash of kingdoms. Pilate is the legal authority. He's the local politician. And what he's saying is, he says, now are you saying you've got a different authority than me and a higher authority and that you rule over me? Are you telling your disciples not to obey the government and to submit to Caesar? Now I want to know. Are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews? Are you another authority? Jesus says, don't you be worrying, Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. It's not of Palestine or Israel or of Rome. My kingdom is not of these kingdoms. There's no clash here. There's no contest here. I'm not competing with you at all. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight for me? And I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from thence. My kingdom's a different kingdom. It's not of this world. And he says, art thou a king then? Thou sayest I'm a king. That's why Jesus got crucified. Since Jesus had an utter respect for the authority, the government, he said, pay your taxes. Don't rebel against the government. Don't cause problems. Don't do all of those things. Don't deny your insurance. You know, there was a guy about 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, a so-called preacher who used to travel through this city. And he came in that door and I thought, I recognized the face, didn't know who he was. He sat down in the back row where Ian is tonight. And it was on a Sunday morning and some of yous were there and you know what I'm about to say. And he sat down there and as I'm preaching, and I'm preaching, and I preach through, usually he sleeps through prayer meetings and preaching, but he didn't preach through that sermon. I can assure you, I was preaching authority to Christ. And in that sermon I mentioned, suddenly when I know who he is,
yeah.
And I said, if you don't, at the end of that message I said, if you don't pay your insurance in your car, you're no Christian. And I said, I'm just about to finish. And as I said that, he stood to his feet, all 6 foot plus of him. And I think it was Paul and Soph, they stood up to do something. They saw the height of him and they sat back down again. So, thanks guys. And this man come with his region. He began to shout and yell and call me every name under the sun. And I stood here and went, he's so mad, he's shaken with rage. And he come up here beside me, I thought, I just stood here quiet and went, now I'm not scared of any man, I'm not scared. And I went, is he going to hit me? I waited for a few seconds, went, he's not going to hit me, let's get him out of here. I walked him to the back door and he was caught, he wanted to stay with everyone and he wanted to stay with me. I walked him out of the back door and locked the back door with him outside. Do you know that man didn't pay insurance for his car and he travelled all over Ireland and Britain?
Jesus.
And he preached on the streets. And do you know why he didn't pay his insurance and other things? He said, I'm under grace. I'm not under the law of this land. And I don't need to respect the law of the land. And he got angry with me, called me a hypocrite and called me a legalist because of what I was preaching. And you know, just a couple of months ago, he handed himself in for murder. He called himself a Christian born again preacher. And he handed himself in Ireland, the local Garda station. And you know what? People have treated him like a servant of God and a preacher. He's no preacher. Hear me.
Yeah.
He is not of Christ. And he's no servant of Christ. And he doesn't have the Spirit of God in him.
Yeah.
Any man who sleeps through a prayer meeting and then wants to prophesy to everyone, don't prophesy to me.
Amen.
Any man who won't respect the government and pay his insurance on his car or other basic bills, don't you come here and try and preach to me.
Yeah.
You're not of Christ.
Yes.
You're not of Christ. Because I tell you, the man of Calvary, the man with highest authority, was willing to submit to the dictates of an evil regime. The Roman Empire wasn't righteous. The demonic realm. Do you know Jesus Christ had authority over the demonic realm? Everywhere he went, demons cried out. Everywhere he went. And it actually said everywhere he went, people were amazed at his doctrine. For they said he commandeth the demons to come out with authority. And they do it, they obey him. He doesn't argue with them. Not 10-hour deliverance sessions. He said, be silent, and they're silent. He says, let go of the man, and they have to go. That's why I'm not going to argue with demons. Sure, I know I've got authority over demons. I don't need to play games with that. But it actually says in the Bible that once he went into the Capernaum synagogue and there was a man sitting in the synagogue with an unclean demon. And the unclean demon cried out with a loud voice saying, let us alone. Notice it's in one man. Let us alone. What have we to do with you, thou Jesus of Nazareth? The religious don't see his authority. And they're saying, leave us alone. Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art. Thou art the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked them and said, hold your peace and come out of him. Don't you be telling anyone else who I am. And it says in Luke chapter 4, the devils came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, nor to reveal that he was the Christ. I want to tell you, the demonic realm gives more respect to this church than the religious do and other churches do. The demons in hell know this church and respect this church. And I want to tell you, the demons in Limerick, they respect Keith Malcolmson. Other churches may not, other Christians may not. But I want to show you, the demonic realm knows what it's dealing with. And I've seen this all through the years. Since I believe in authority, and I believe the enemy respects authority and knows authority. He does understand authority. Do you remember the man with the legion of demons? About 6,000 demons were in that man. He cut himself. He hid in the graveyard. People were scared to come near him. He would break chains that were there to hold him. He had demonic power. This is the most demonized man in the Bible. And when he seen Jesus coming, he ran to him. And listen to what the demon said. Jesus, thou Son of God, art thou come hither to torment us before our time? That's what the demon said. Do you know what? The demons knew they're going to get judged. The demons, they submit, they acknowledge the authority of Christ. Have you come to judge us? And they begged him, said, please don't send us to the pit. Put us in these pigs. You know why? The local Jews shouldn't have been keeping pigs.
Yeah.
Do you know the devil's a legal expert?
Yeah.
Better than any lawyer in Limerick or Ireland, I can assure you. And do you know what he's saying? Now, Jesus, you know they shouldn't have had those pigs. We are claiming rights to go in those pigs. We know rights. They're not obeying you. We've got rights here. And we're pleading, give us those 6,000 sows. Let us go into them. And the pigs charged down the hill and were killed. And the local people said, we want you out of our area. You've scared us. I'm telling you, the demonic realm submits to the authority of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me the demons in Limerick are not submitted to Jesus. They are. And Jesus said, this authority I give to you over all the power of the devil. I'm not scared of ghosts and ghoulies in the dark.
Yeah.
You know, when I was 10 years old, my mum would send me out to get coal in round the back of the house. And we had no lights out there. We're in the countryside. And the wind would be blowing and the trees all around. And you know, a kid's mind, you go, as I'm walking, there's a big green man going to jump down and hit me in the back of the head. I know none of yous have had that experience, or your minds don't work like that, but mine did as a kid. Or the light goes out at night and you go, is something under the bed? Or did you hear that downstairs? Do you know what I used to do when I went to get the coal? This is what I'd done. I mean, I'm not going to be scared of anything. There's nothing in that dark. I know it, but it doesn't help, does it? You still go out there. You know what I used to do, 10 years old, have my coal bucket and go, okay, it's down here, around the corner. As soon as I close the door, lights are out. Scary. And I said, Keith Malcolmson, you listen to me. From this night forth, every time you go for the coal, with the coal shuttle, you're going to walk half the speed until that doesn't bother you again. I still had the same fear, still had the same concerns. I walked half the speed. And I, when I know Jesus is with me, I know the angels are with me, I'm under the authority of Christ, all hell cannot touch me.
Yes.
Do you know when I get in that car tonight, I'm not scared of the devil touching me. He has no authority when I submit to Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say? Submit to God, resist the devil.
Yes.
You better make sure that you submit to God before you resist the devil.
Yes.
Or you've got a big wanger coming.
Yes.
He'll hit you a clunker you've never even imagined if you're not submitted to Christ. But you know what? I'm not scared if the devil killed me tonight. I'll get in that car. If he could kill me, he would have done it before now. And he'd want to do that. But you know what? The devils respect authority of Christ. Let me close here with the church. I've got other points. I can take you all the way to the millennium here. I'm only touching on this, saints. The authority of Jesus Christ. But let me close with the church, the authority of Christ in the church. In Acts chapter 2:32, it says, this Jesus hath God raised up. And this is Acts 2. Remember the day of Pentecost?
Yeah.
Remember Peter standing up on the day of Pentecost with 120 disciples and 3,000 people are there. They get converted. Listen to Peter's message. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Do you realize on the day of Pentecost, where did revival come from? Jesus on the throne of God. Every revival in church history.
Amen.
1904, 1859, 1906, all the revivals. The Lewis revival. Here in Ireland, revivals that have come to this nation. Revivals that are yet to come. Do you know where they come from? The throne of God. Do you know when Saul of Tarsus was saved? He's on his way to persecute Christians. You know who saved him? Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father. And he subdued that wicked man. Do you know in Ephesians chapter 4, the five ministries of apostle and prophet and of shepherd and teacher and evangelist? Do you know who gives them? Jesus from the throne. They're gifts of his throne. Do you realize that throne is very powerful in the church? I am a gift from that throne, you know. You may think, man, we got shortchanged. But I want to show you every true preacher is a gift from the throne of God into the church. Every revival, every genuine baptism in the Holy Spirit, it is the result of Christ at the throne. Now notice this in Ephesians 1:20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And notice this, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but in the world to come. And had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things in the church. Saints, let me tell you, the Pope is not the head of this church.
Right.
He is the head of the Roman Catholic Church, but not the Church of Jesus Christ. We had a lady in here a few months ago, and she sat here in the afternoon, and some of you heard the discussion. And I kept asking her, who is the head of the church? And said, the Pope. And I said, no, what does the Bible say? Who is the head of the church? Said, the Pope. You see, she couldn't say what the... And then she said, Jesus is the head of the church in heaven, but not on the earth. I said, no, that's not what the Bible teaches. He is the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Do you know this church? I'm not the head of this church. And we don't look at any great apostle or any great bishop or any great evangelist. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the only head. We are submitted to his headship. Look at the church. We as a church, we submit ourselves. All the regulations for this church, what he says we're going to do in this church, concerning money, concerning leadership, concerning preaching, concerning evangelism, concerning worship, concerning fellowship. Look at us, saints. This is what we give ourselves to this in this church. And I give myself as a preacher. I am submitted to the headship of Christ. I am a man under authority. And we want to be a church under authority. You know, this can remarkably affect this city of Limerick. If we are under authority, we're going to have authority in this city. Can I tell you that? If we're a church under authority, no demon in hell is going to touch this church. Do you hear me? Our names will be known in hell. Jesus I know and Paul I know. Who are you?
Yeah.
Lots of people in the church, you know.
Yeah.
can't control their tongue, then they want to bind the devil. I bind you, devil. I rebuke you. Do you know, if I'm a devil and I know you're a gossip, I'll say, you're playing games. Yeah. Or you think I'm going to be submitted to you? You don't even submit to someone in the local church.
Yeah,
or to your daddy.
Mm.
Or to your parents.
Mm-hmm.
You're not even willing to submit to another person or your brothers and sisters in Christ. Mm. And you think me, a demon, I'm going to submit to you on your bike.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say if I was a demon. Not sure I'd get off with it. But saints, this is where it's come to in the church. And he is the head of the body. Colossians 1. The church who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Saints, I'm only touching on the supremacy of Christ. In the church, over the kings of the earth, in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who submits to authority. If you're a wife and you submit to authority, you're submitting to Christ. If you're in this church and you submit to my authority, you're submitting to Christ.
Amen.
If we submit together to the government of this nation, we're submitting to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it reveals your heart towards Jesus Christ. You go, I'm a feminist, I'm not submitting to any man. That reveals your heart towards Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm not going to submit to my parents. I don't have to. That reveals rebellion. The Old Testament, a child got stoned.
Yes.
You know, son, a teenager, you rebel. You're in rebellion. You got stoned in the Old Testament. Saints, I'm saying there is an authority that we submit to. And if you begin to understand the authority of Christ, that he humbled himself as a man, became of no reputation, he had ultimate authority, he wasn't scared to submit himself. And when you understand authority and you submit to Christ, it frees you up. I don't worry. I wouldn't care if the Bible told all of us men, submit to the women and submit to your wife. I'd do it.
Yes.
I wouldn't have a problem. I'll submit to my boss at work. I'll submit to the government. I'll submit to your authority in your home. If I walk into Paul's house, I submit to his authority in that home.
Yeah.
He's younger than me. I've been a Christian longer than him. But I submit to his authority. I recognize his authority. But if he walks in here, he doesn't have authority over me in that sense. No, I've got an authority. And if I walk into Ian's home, I recognize his authority. I do that, saints. And if we begin to recognize this, it will change your whole life. It'll radically change you. It won't go, it's not about people. It's not about people. It's about God. And God will bless you if you submit to Jesus Christ, his throne. If you begin to see what authority is, your whole thinking will be changed. Christ submitted himself to his mother and his stepfather and the government and to those powers and the taxes in around him. And I tell you, he had the highest authority that ever was. Father, we love you, we bless you, and we thank you for raising up your son, and we want